On the back of my driver's license, there is a place to sign to be an organ donor. I've not signed on the back of mine. I felt like if anybody looked at the picture on the front, they wouldn't be interested anyway. But perhaps many of you have. I remember when there was the first heart donated, the first heart transplant, how people thought that was so unusual. Now today, it's not uncommon for there to be the donation of an organ to be used on a fairly regular basis. Tonight, I want us to think about being an organ donor. I would encourage every one of us in the audience tonight to be an organ donor. In fact, I would encourage every one of us to be a donor of the heart. I'm not talking about the blood pump. Some of you may have decided to do that. I'm thankful for the progress that has been made where that can be accomplished, and there are those today that are living because of this. But I'm talking about the spiritual heart. The heart with which each of us thinks, reasons, understands, and believes, including the intellectual part of man's existence. The heart with which we are able to love and trust, have feelings of happiness and sorrow, including the emotional side of man. The heart with which we are able to determine, to decree, to purpose, and even to obey, involving the will of man. Perhaps somewhere there we ought to, along with the intellect and the emotions and the will of man, include the conscience. That's the heart that we're talking about tonight. When I suggest to you that each one of us ought to be encouraged to be an organ donor. In our lesson this morning and in the presentation of our plans for the new year, emphasis was placed upon the heart. We came to the conclusion in that lesson that if our hearts are okay, everything else will work out, and made an appeal for us to think about our own attitudes and our own thoughts that we have in the spiritual heart. I believe tonight that God, in a sense, is saying what is in a song in our book, number 352, a song that we do not usually sing here, but one that has some words in it that are so appropriate this evening. The title of it is, Give Me Thy Heart. The title of our lesson is, Be an Organ Donor. Give me thy heart, says the Father above, no gift so precious to him as our love. Softly he whispers, wherever thou art, gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart, says the Savior of men, calling in mercy again and again. Turn now from sin and from evil depart. Have I not died for thee? Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart, says the Spirit divine, all that thou hast to my keeping resign. Grace more abounding is mine to impart. Make full surrender and give me thy heart. The chorus, give me thy heart, give me thy heart. Hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. From this dark world he would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart. The two verses that Tony read a few minutes ago emphasize to us just how important the heart is. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There are just not many things that we could emphasize tonight that are more important than each one of us being willing to give his heart to God. If you get the heart in the right place, everything else seems to fit in place. An older lady went to church every Sunday, walking, very crippled, but walking. Someone asked her how she was able to do that, and her answer was, "I just throw my heart out in front and my feet follow." Perhaps there is no idea that is more important for us tonight on this first Sunday of 2001 than to think about giving the heart to God. I am convinced that if each one of us will give his heart to God, our actions will be affected. Our words will be tempered. Our attitudes will be in the right place. And we will be able to meet the challenges that are before us. Think for just a few minutes with me tonight about some specific ways in which this may apply. When we start talking about the subject of sin, to understand what it is and to understand what to do about it, we need to really talk about the subject of the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 18, and 19 that it's not what we eat and put into the body in that way that really defiles the person, but it's that which comes out of the mouth, which comes forth from the heart. And he says, these are the things that defile a man. He goes ahead in that passage and talks about many different types of sin. Sins that we think of as overt actions, like theft. But he says, really, the problem is in the heart. If a person's heart is not right, he may very well be involved in committing these sins. In Matthew 5, 28, men are warned about thinking wrong thoughts toward women. We're told there that adultery can be committed in the heart. Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. When Stephen was addressing the people in Acts 7, he said that these people who eventually would stone him to death were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear. And he went ahead to say, you do resist the Spirit. But notice where he started with the idea. The heart was not right. They're resisting of the work of God, which he said is the same thing that their fathers did in times past, had its roots in their hearts. He called them stiff-necked. He called them uncircumcised in heart and ear, and indicated that their problem was that which started in the heart. Warning is given in Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief or disbelief in departing from the living God. The writer of Hebrews had a lot to say. More than once he addressed that idea and asked the people not to be deceived, suggesting that it's easy for one to be deceived, but to be careful about his heart. If you stop and think about any sin that you and I might commit, it's very probable that we will be able to trace the beginning of it back to the heart, the thinking process, the emotions, the will, the conscience. All of this is involved in sin. And it is extremely difficult for us to live pure lives if we do not have pure thoughts. It is difficult for us to keep from committing the sins of overt action if we fill our hearts with thoughts about those problems. So in order to stand against sin and to try to stay out of it and to get out of it when we do make mistakes, we need to be an organ donor. We need to give the heart to God. The attitude is affected. In fact, the attitude is really what's there when we're thinking about the heart. But notice what the Bible has to say about attitudes toward different things. Jesus says there in Matthew 6, 20 and 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I think we probably could turn that around. And it would also be true that where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. The attitude that we take toward material things, which we discussed this morning, is going to affect so many phases of our lives. If we are interested in storing up here on earth, as Jesus discusses in that specific passage, more than we are storing up in heaven, we may very well lose, and we know that we will lose as far as the heart is concerned. Getting our heart right is going to affect our attitude toward material things. In Matthew 12, 34 and 35, he says that our words come forth from the heart. Another passage somewhat like Matthew 15, 18. But he says that what we think in the heart's going to be expressed in words. We just don't say things without thinking. Well, maybe sometimes we do. At least we say we do. But really, our word process and what we express to one another is what comes from the heart. And if we have not had evil thoughts, it will not be possible for us to say evil words. If we've not considered good thoughts, it will be difficult for us to say good words. We need to donate the heart to God in order to control our words. Our worship, even in a service like this, really depends upon whether or not we are an organ donor, whether we have given our hearts to God. Jesus described vain worship in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. And just before he talked about teaching the doctrines of men, he mentioned the heart. And he said, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Is it possible for us to worship God if the heart is not right? I don't think it is. We talk about Hebrews 10:25 a lot, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but if you back up to verse 22, he sort of begins that part of the discussion there by saying, "Draw near with a true heart." What we get out of worship, what we get out of a service like this, perhaps depends more upon the heart that we have when we come and the heart that we have while we're in worship than any other factor. Our giving, as we talked about this morning, is to be from the heart. And I think it is important for us to learn to think more in terms of the heart than it is to think in terms of numbers. Because the heart is where we purpose. The heart is where the cheer is. The heart is where the willing attitude is of 2 Corinthians 8:12. And so when you stop and think about it, everything that we do in worship, whether it's singing or prayer or studying, the Lord's Supper, our giving, all of it, comes back to giving our hearts to God. And when you and I come into a service like this, if we come with a good heart, I'm pretty sure that we will leave being benefited by having been present. We need to donate the heart to God. This is true as far as Christian living is concerned. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:13. Two chapters later in verse 22, he says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." The attitude that we have is going to affect how we deal with others and how we live day in and day out. You and I will go out into the world tomorrow to work, to school. We'll be associated with a lot of different people. But what we do and how we approach those people will be determined largely by the attitude that we have in our hearts. 1 Timothy 1:5 says our charity is to come out of a pure heart. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, he says we're to call on the Lord out of a pure heart. How are we going to live and treat other people right if we do not think right in our hearts? If we do not have the love for God and the love for others there, how are we going to live the Christian life? Again, think about our text. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Would not the issues of life there include your business, your occupation, your hobbies, your family relationships, your community service? Would not all those things be involved in the issues of life? I believe so. And he says that we need to keep the heart because out of the heart's going to come the issues of life. What we do and what we don't do. What we accomplish and when we fail. May be affected by other factors, but a key factor is the heart. And even when you get to thinking about conversion, the really important idea is to be an organ donor, to donate your heart to God. We constantly encourage people to obey the gospel, to confess the name of Christ, to repent of their sins, to be buried with their Lord in baptism for the remission of sins. But where does all of that start? With the heart. Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 10. Jesus said in Matthew 13:15, "This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand in their heart," notice, "and be converted, and I should heal them." We quote Acts 2:38 often, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But if you back up one verse, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It was the heart that caused them to ask the question that received the answer to tell them what to do to be obedient to God. We talk about the Ethiopian eunuch going down into the water with Philip, and Philip baptizing him. But just before that, the eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And the answer was, if thou believest in all with all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe analysis of that passage will show us that it is impossible for one to be scripturally baptized unless there is faith in one's heart. What hinders, he said, if you believe with all of your heart, was the answer. And so even in these examples of Acts 2 and Acts 8, where there were conversions, we go back and look very closely and we see that it had to start in the heart. There was the teaching to get the heart stirred. They were pricked in their hearts. He believed with all of his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then in each of these cases, the person was a fit candidate to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. The main reason why people who are not Christians stand back and fail to come to be baptized into Christ is because they've not donated the heart to God. Now, we can give a lot of reasons, we can give a lot of excuses. And some of them may be factors as to why people have not obeyed the gospel, been baptized into Christ. But when you come right down to it, the bottom line is that there's a problem in the heart. Because if you and I have really given our hearts to God, we will be ready to do anything that He has told us to do. When you think about what we sometimes call a restoration of an erring Christian, again, it starts with the heart. David committed some very serious sins back under the old law. You remember the story of how he was told what he had done and eventually became very penitent for what he had done. He evidently wrote several psalms in connection with that, of which one is Psalm 51. And in that psalm where he talks about being penitent, needing to be restored to the right relationship to God, in verse 10 he says, create in me a clean heart. I think David, a person who was called a man after God's own heart, realized that he had to start there to straighten things out. He had to start with a clean heart. He had to get his thinking right. And so his prayer was, create within me a clean heart. And most of you are very familiar with the passage in Acts 8 dealing with Simon the sorcerer. Shortly after he had become a Christian, he wanted to buy the gift of God that these early Christians like Stephen and Philip could use. He was told by Peter that he could not buy that power. And in connection with that, Peter said there in Acts 8 about verses 21, 22, and in those verses, your heart is not right in the sight of God. He went ahead and said, repent therefore, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And Simon the sorcerer then asked Peter to pray for him and with him, which fits into the instruction of James 5, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. But I want you to see the point. Peter said your problem starts in the heart. You're wanting to buy something with money that doesn't belong to you. It's not a gift that belongs to you. And he said you need to get your heart right with God. And in this case, Simon the sorcerer did, and ask that prayer be made for his sin to be forgiven. When you stop and think about sin, attitude toward life, Christian living, conversion, restoration, all of these, they come right back to this central thought that we need to give our hearts unto God. There's another song that we sometimes sing as an invitation song. I want you to just listen. Don't try to follow along with me, but just listen. And I want to use this to remind us of the Lord's invitation tonight as we think about being an organ donor, giving our hearts to God. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. If it's not and you need to do something about it, come as together we stand and sing.